Is this any better?
Is it even on?
Is this any better? It's yes, on. It's on. What do you mean?
Is it your phone? Is it on your headphones?
Okay, you listen for this one.
Okay, what am I listening for?
Is this any better?
Oh, yeah, no, you can't really. You're just hearing. I don't know what you're hearing. This is not, like, what we're hearing.
What are you hearing?
It sounds like I can hear someone on a microphone.
Yep.
Trey.
This is what we're hearing.
That sounds great.
Sounds great. That sounds great.
Sounds good? You approve?
So wait, now put it back.
Testing.
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 Does it sound different now?
Is there an airplane coming? This sounds different. Wait, go back.
Does it sound different now?
Hello? I can hear the airplane.
Does it sound different now?
Okay, come go to there. This sounds...
It sounds better?
Worse? I don't know. It sounds like a microphone. Is it echoey?
Yeah.
Echoey. Welcome to Made in the 80s, podcast about the 80s by people who are made in the 80s. I'm your host Shalia, and we have
Tim
and Kendon.
So you guys, where are we in terms of our scary spooky October?
We're at the end. We've got our final two movies, and
still alive, like my friend Logan Nine Fingers would say. Still alive.
Wait, who is Logan Nine Fingers?
He's a Bloody Nine from the Joe Abercrombie book, First Blood. No.
Nope.
First Law.
The First Law trilogy, yeah.
Okay. All right, I have no idea what that's about.
That's because you weren't paying attention to the episode where we told you all about it.
Yeah, I don't remember the name, though. Yeah.
I don't think we talked about Logan Nine Fingers back then. Okay, you guys, what is the news?
Well, I'll start off on just a kind of a small one. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you consider it small or not, but James Gunn, not Tim Gunn.
I'm glad you got it right.
Different person.
James Gunn was hired for Suicide Squad 2. James Gunn was the director of the first two Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Somewhat far-right nutcases on the internet dug up some tweets from like 10 years ago where he was making really bad or in bad taste jokes. Mm-hmm. Disney being risk averse as it is, because those jokes included jokes about pedophilia. Mm-hmm.
Don't touch the kids.
Hey, that is my one of my slogans. Mm-hmm. He got fired, and a lot of people, the actors, people online, fans, were not happy about it, especially because pretty sure that Disney knew about it when they hired him. So really, they were just trying to put out a fire afterwards. Anyway, so he's moving over to direct Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad is not Disney, right?
No, it's Warner. Because it's a Disney, or it's a DC movie.
Okay, so he got fired from Disney. Still not allowed to work with them, but he's finding other work.
Yeah, it's not just that he's finding other work. Like, I really wish I was good enough to do a some sort of sports metaphor for you. Who are the two biggest rivals?
It's like leaving. I don't know. I don't know if DC's a rival.
I don't think it is, like, especially Suicide rival. Squad. Like, who cares?
I do. I liked Suicide Squad.
Stop, I think you're doing a bit of RevCon.
Nope, because all three of us walked out of that theater, you included, high on that movie.
That's not true.
It totally is. No, you're thinking of Dawn of Justice.
No, I'm talking about Suicide Squad. I thought the witch woman didn't make any sense, and I thought it was wasting my time.
You didn't say it at the time, maybe because Tim got us into the movie, and you didn't want to be ungrateful.
You can't see, I was dancing like her the whole time.
You looked more like wacky, inflatable, waving arm tube man.
That's what I thought you were. I was like standing in front of a store.
That's what she looked like.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
I don't care. I don't, it's one of those where it's like, okay, I think a little bit, I mean, this was news when he got fired and we discussed it on the show. I will tell him, be better. And I'm disappointed in him for the tweets that he had back in the day. And now, I mean, hopefully he's learned his lesson and he makes good movies.
Yeah, from all I know, he is better. Like, he's gotten better. He's grown up, matured, or whatever. So, like, how far back should you go before you can forgive something?
Depends on what it was that happened.
Bad jokes.
I think, off with his head.
I like the move, but I don't know if, because I think why Guardians works is because it's attached to the other things that we know, and the DC movies aren't attached to anything. Like Suicide Squad feels nothing like the rest of their slate of movies, so I don't know if they have enough to build on that. They should, hopefully, but I don't know. I don't know if the cast is going to be the same. I don't know what story they're going to tell. But if they can get it right, I think. Especially if he's writing the script, because he's written the Guardians movies, I think they'll be in a good space.
Because, like, two of my thoughts is, first, the first Guardians was, like, technically connected to things, but the story was almost completely divorced from everything we had seen, like, from the other Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. And then also, my main thing is him being director and even the writer enough, right? Because Marvel / Disney have this whole machine going that's kind of in synergy, while DC, is DC going to trip over its own feet even with somebody with the proven talent to do something basically, I mean, it's about odd, what do you call it? Not odd jobs.
Anti-heroes.
Yeah, but like oddballs, mm-hmm. right? It's oddball heroes. So it's right in his wheelhouse as far as what he's done before. Mm-hmm. So anyways, surely don't care.
I don't care, but I will be happy and I'll be thankful if it turns out to be an entertaining film. Tim, do you have any other news?
Mm-hmm. I do. Hold on. I'm pulling it up on my IMDb.
Well, we'll take this moment to do a PSA and say, hey, is everybody ready to vote in November? It's coming up. Kendon and I got our ballots. I'm actually going to fill mine out and send it in early because why not? Don't have to wait till election day. Hopefully everyone votes. You know what to do.
Okay. Vote. Yes. What she says is right. Vote. Get out and vote. Be involved. Be active. Be engaged. And be interested. Anyway, so there's a trailer for this new movie coming out called Escape Room.
Have you done an escape room?
No, I want to.
Okay. I really do too. Can we do a Made in the 80s field trip escape room, please?
Yes.
Who are we bringing with us? It's us three?
Yeah.
We've had a lot of guests who might be interested, so we can figure that out.
Okay. The movie stars a bunch of people you don't know, including Jay Ellis from Insecure.
Is that a man or a woman?
Jay Ellis is a man.
Which character?
You don't know who Jay Ellis plays on Insecure?
No. You know I don't know actors' names.
Yeah, he's Lawrence from Insecure.
Okay. Oh, I like him.
Yeah, so he's in it. But these people get this box that's like, come to this escape room, helps get out the escape room, and you get $1 million. But in the escape room, it's literally trying to kill them. But it feels like a mix between Saw and that crazy movie Cube. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I was just thinking of Cube.
It feels like they sort of merged this with really cool technology and like, yeah. Check out the trailer if you can. It comes out early next year. It's called Escape Room. It looks like my kind of movie.
What is your kind of movie?
Just a fun thriller. It's kind of intense. Nameless, faceless people who are probably going to get their faces melted off or something like that. But definitely, definitely looks like a lot of fun.
Very topical for this week. Because, Tim, what did you watch this week?
Oh, I forgot I had one more piece of news.
Oh, please.
Iron Fist was canceled.
Oh, yeah. not the character. The character's still around. The show got canceled.
That's a good thing.
I haven't seen season two. I thought it might have
gotten better. Oh, for sure it was better.
But I guess Netflix has those viewer numbers, like, right, the metrics right away.
And they canceled Orange is the New Black as well.
But it's been going for a while. That. I couldn't do it. In terms of Iron Fist, did the second season come out before or after The Defenders?
After.
It just came out.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
The only one I really like is Daredevil. Oh, and I like Luke Cage.
Season 3 is out now.
Of Daredevil?
Yeah, today. Oh, why are you making the your face right now?
Because I don't have, like, work is picking up, mm-hmm. and I'm, like, doing all this extra stuff, and then all this stuff. Making a Murderer is out, Seven Deadly Sins, which Leah will not watch.
I decided that the, like, sexual harassment is just too much, even in a cartoon.
It's so anime. Anyways, there's just so much stuff on Netflix right. alone.
Okay.
We never watched the last season of Luke Cage.
Or what? we didn't watch, we only watched like two episodes of Punisher.
That's true. We're failing.
Punisher's great, by the way.
I did want to watch more. Like, I was enjoying what I saw. It wasn't like a, it wasn't like an Iron Fist where I was like, no, I'm, no, thank you. I don't need any more of that.
Well, I'm going to get back to all of them, hopefully.
Okay. So are we doing, what are we watching?
We are now.
I saw the new Halloween movie.
Yay! How was it?
Wait, why are you excited? Because you didn't like the first one.
She always has initial excitement. That goes back to Suicide Squad. She came out initially excited.
Negative. I am excited because I knew you were really excited to watch it, and I'm really happy that it came out because you were looking forward to it.
Yes. So 40 years after the first movie, it's Michael Myers returns to Haddonfield and kills a bunch of people. He escapes like a prison transport, as criminals do.
We should stop transporting criminals.
Yeah.
He was going to have a prison transport when he, the first time. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So, a lot of cool stuff happens in this film. It's a much higher body count than the original, because we just watched it. It's like six people die, we think, was the number. Mm-hmm. This is a much higher body count. He's going through Haddonfield, just slicing and dicing people up. But here's the trick. A lot of the murders we don't see on camera. Some of them is you're stumbling upon like someone with a jaw ripped out or somebody. Like Michael has this thing in the film where he's banging people's heads against things. He'll like grab someone and just smash their head against the wall repeatedly. To stagger them like a video game, but they're like sitting around dizzy and then he kills them.
Combo.
Yeah, it's like that. But the highlight is this little black kid in the film. His real name, he plays Justin, I think it is. Let me make sure. My phone locked. He plays Julian. But his real name is Jabril Nantambu. Okay, this little kid is all of us in a scary movie. You seen him, you seen the trailer? He's the kid in the trailer who's in the bed and tells his babysitter to close his closet door. And she opens the door and Michael's in there with his knife. That's the scene. But that scene starts with him telling the babysitter he knows she's gonna smoke weed and just sort of it's like going back and forth, and then he goes up to his room. He says, "There's somebody in this house." And he was standing outside my room staring at me, and he's like, "I'm not going back up there." And they're like, "No, you know." So she goes up there, and he's like, "You go first." And so when Michael, so she gets back in the bed. This isn't spoiling anything. It's all in the trailer. So when he gets back in the bed, when Michael comes out, he takes off.
Yeah,
he's like, he's out of there, and then he's he goes down the stairs and tries to come back up, and he sees her. She's getting killed, obviously. And he sees it. He's like, oh, shit. He takes up down the stairs and tells her boyfriend, don't go up there. You're going to die. On his way out the house. Like, don't go up there. It's the best. Like, the kid's in the movie for like 15 minutes, but he's like, he's what? Phenomenal. He's black.
I was actually wondering about the babysitter.
Oh, she's white.
And the boyfriend.
He's white.
And they both go upstairs.
Yeah, black is out of there. He doesn't kill anybody black in the whole movie. Which is fascinating.
Is that a spoiler?
No. No one's ever, other than the kid who escapes, no one else is in danger. But it's great. It's got like a lot of, especially if you just watched the original, there's a lot of like nods to the original that that are obvious. When her granddaughter's in class, it's the same classroom. She's sitting in the same seat that Laurie sat in, and when we meet Lori, she's kind of a crazy person. Like, no one believes her. She's waiting. It's been 40 years, and she's waiting for this murderer to return. And everyone's like, he's locked up. He's not breaking out. He hasn't talked to anyone in 40 years. So when he breaks out, she's like, see, I'm not crazy.
I like that. That is very Terminator 2.
Yeah, she's very much on a Sarah Connor plan.
Except for people know that it really happened. Like, for Sarah Connor, people are like, we don't know what you're talking about. This didn't really happen. Who's this guy? You're crazy. But, like, people in that town know Michael Myers came and did all that shit. They were there.
But he's locked up. And so your fear is he's going to break out and try to come kill me. But that's the crazy part.
That's what he did last time.
To be fair to Sarah Connor, they have like evidence that some dude walked in with a bunch of machine guns and fucked up a police station.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you're like, okay, she's crazy. There's no future robots or whatever. There is a guy who was chasing her, trying to kill her.
That's a real thing. You know what's funny? So someone on Twitter was asking a bunch of questions, and one of the questions was, what saying do you think people misunderstand? And I said, it's I'll be back from Terminator. Because when he comes back and kills everybody. That's the I'll be back.
But that's the point, because he's a Terminator.
What? But people don't say it like that. People are like, I'll be back. Like, it's cute. Like, no, he came back and killed people. That's not cute. He's a murderer.
I mean, that's always the way I understood it. I didn't know people took it out of context like that.
I like it because it's just a very, I'll be back. And yeah, I'll be back. And when I come back, I'm going to finish my mission. Like, so that's our ending, right? Like, we'll be back. And it's because we'll come back next week and do the thing that we are going
to
do now.
Yeah. But what's funny to me is it's a little bit of personality for the Terminator, because right. he doesn't have to say mm-hmm. that, but it's like he knows a little bit about social interactions.
Right.
So he just doesn't turn around like a robot and walk away. He's just really awkward about saying, I'll be back.
Right.
I'll be back.
Anyway, so Halloween ends up, you know, it all comes down to Michael Myers facing off with Laurie at her crazy, like, house with all these booby traps and weapons and stuff.
Home Alone.
Yeah, very Home Alone-ish. But yeah, it's fun. If you like Halloween and you're into those kind of horror movies, it's definitely worth the watch.
Related to that, I asked you a little bit about this earlier. So I've been seeing all this, like, the shape. So we're in Seattle, so I see the shape in front of the Ferris wheel or the Great Wheel, and then I see the shape at the gum wall. Do I need to worry walking around town that I'm going to see the shape?
No, that's just promo for the film.
The shape would be what?
Michael Myers.
Is it like his silhouette?
Yeah, they refer, even in the film, in the credits, he's referred to as the shape, not Michael Myers.
I don't know how I feel about
that. It's the shape. It's what you see. It's the silhouette of him at the top of the stairs. The silhouette of him.
Is that what they call him in the first one?
No.
Okay.
But looking back on the films, that's him. It's the shape in the dark walking around.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I walk around and I'm like, I understand it's a promo for the film, but I'm also like, you fuckers aren't gonna, you're not doing this just in normal time where me, innocent person walking around, ends up seeing it.
What do you think is going to happen?
I'll pee my pants, scream and cry, and run home. I will lose my shit. That's what's going to happen.
It's just the person in the costume. That's it.
Yeah.
They're not going to touch you. They're not going to follow you. You're not. If you were going to like a haunted house or one of those haunted corn mazes things, then yeah. But just in the streets, no.
I think she just has a little more trouble separating reality from, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely not a fear for everyone, but for this person made in the 80s, I would be very scared if I saw it. All right,
what are you guys watching?
Well, I did some traveling recently, so plane movies again. Finally saw The Incredibles 2. Yeah, two thumbs up. Well, it's an interesting story, and I think that it, so it picks up like right after, and it's like dealing with society issues, mm-hmm. which I guess is good, but
yeah.
So basically, the plot being is that, you know, superheroes have been illegal for a long time, and that was the case in the beginning, or during the first movie. But there is some rich twins who want to bring them back, and they think that Elastigirl, which is the mother of the family, would be the best, like, forward-facing.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, let's get her out there doing some stuff. And so there's a Mr. Mom sort of thing going on.
Right.
Where Mr. Incredible, who he always wanted to be, like, he always wants to be in the action, mm-hmm. has to, like, be able to step away from the limelight and like allow his wife to shine
and be a dad at home
and be a dad, a stay at home dad with a newborn who has all the powers,
every power imaginable. Yeah.
Which
Jack-Jack
makes a lot, which is a lot of fun.
Jack-Jack versus the squirrel is a great sequence.
Yeah. Wait, was it a no, it was a raccoon.
Raccoon. Yeah.
Raccoon. That's why I was like, ugh. Like I was like, raccoons are dangerous.
Yeah. Not to Jack-Jack.
No. But it did, like, I did feel some tension there. Yeah.
You know who else had really cool powers was Void.
So, let me get there. So, I appreciated, like, all of that, you know, but I didn't really get into it. And then when the action started towards, say, the last third of the movie, so there are a bunch of other superheroes who have been inspired by the Incredibles and kind of fangirl out when they see them. One of them's name is Void. And I wish I could remember the X-Men who has those powers. Because from Days of Future Past, in the early scene, one of the mutants has that power.
Mm-hmm.
And the power is to open up these portals, instant portals, and somebody or something can go through them and come out the other side. So, mm-hmm. you know, you throw one on the floor and something comes out the wall.
Right.
Now, she ends up having a fight with... Does she fight Elastigirl?
She fights Elastigirl, yeah.
That's actually a really good... I was thinking of the one where she fights Violet. Mm-hmm. And Violet is basically the invisible woman, has the force field / invisibility mm-hmm. powers, same as the Fantastic Four character. These guys are all basically the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Except for they don't have a Human Torch. They have the Flash instead.
Or maybe that's Jack-Jack.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jack-Jack is definitely fire.
Jack-Jack, there's a character like, I don't know if it's Proteus or something like that in X-Men, but some that just has all the powers. Anyways, that's a really great fight. Violet versus the Void, or Void. I love that movie. Then I'd never get tired of Samuel Jackson as Frozone.
Frozone, yeah.
And his off-screen wife,
yeah.
When he was like, I'll be there right... Or what he said, I'll be there ASAP. She's like, you'll be where ASAP? You better be back ASAP? That was my favorite line in the movie. Yeah, I laughed out loud in the trailer, too. Mm-hmm. And so the one other thing I want to add is that I'm 35.
Welcome.
I didn't just turn 35.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
But I mentor undergrads
mm-hmm.
in my lab at work. So late teens, you know, early 20s. And I'm like, we're really media people, right? So we're watching TV, we're watching movies, whatever. And as I talk with them, I'm like, did you see this movie? No. Did you see this TV show? No. Because they're busy like watching Twitch and YouTube and all of this other shit. So I'm not a huge fan of The Incredibles, so I didn't get around to watching it until clearly months later. But I remember when it came out, like I had 4 undergrads and all of them had gone to see it that weekend.
Yeah.
So like it was clearly a important movie, a important event for them back when it first came out.
Think about how old they were when it came out.
Yeah.
They were right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. They all went to a movie. They do go to movies apparently. Yeah. But
what else did you see that was just that? Just Incredibles 2?
What else have I been watching?
Yeah, what else did you see on the plane?
Oh, so I'm not quite ready to talk about it, but I started a series called, it's Lemony Snicket's, a series of
unfortunate events. Yeah.
I haven't gotten to the end of it, so I don't want to talk about it yet.
But do you like it?
I fucking love it.
Okay.
So I guess one thing I would say, because I started a new YouTuber, which happens to me, I watch just random YouTubers, and she reviews all types of media stuff, but... I guess what my thing is, when she was talking about this versus the movie, because we saw the movie way back when it came out, and she just made an offhanded remark. Now, the first book came out in like 1999, right? And she was like, these books clearly shaped all of our childhoods. And I was like, okay, that definitely puts like a number on like how old you are, right? And as I'm watching it, I don't think it's a kid's show. Now, I'm not saying it's like an adult show. And it also doesn't come across as like a YA show, like a young adult show, which is kind of a weird... It just seems like something for somebody who read those books when they were a kid and then grew up, so they don't want like a kiddie show. Like, there's actual peril in it. And, I'll get back to it later. But the other thing is it has one of like the lead producers or visual designers as... A show I love called Pushing Daisies.
Yeah.
That had like one season maybe. Mm-hmm. Like 10 years ago. And it's... what's up?
I have some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Netflix also pulled the plug on Luke Cage season 3.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wait, pulled the plug on it? Is it it's not coming out?
It's not happening.
Is it all our fault, Kendon?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I want to watch it. Netflix, I'm interested. I just didn't watch it yet. They can change their mind. They'll change their mind.
No, they won't.
I'm going to binge Luke Cage this weekend. And then they'll be like, oh, okay. People do care.
No.
I appreciate the optimism, though. Anyways, I really like that show. And I have a lot of stuff that I'll probably have in the next few episodes. So, Shalia?
Okay, so I forgot. I did have some news. So, the guy who's been doing the voice of Big Bird, and is he also the voice of Oscar the Grouch?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's retiring. So that's big news, I think, in the one for the Made in the 80s generation and some others. And then also, one of the article headlines, Kendon, that you read to me was that he's retiring after 50 years. But what did we figure out? That Sesame Street was first released in 1969. So it's not been 50 years, according to our arithmetic.
We literally had a whole like 10 to 15 minute discussion about arithmetic getting ready for work that day.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. But anyway, well, congratulations.
Real quick, it wasn't just that it hasn't been 50 years. They said over 50 years, specifically over 50 years, which is different than just saying 50 years and you round it up from like 49 and 2 months.
And I was trying to like expand my brain and be like, well, maybe they started recording early and it just released on that date. But then we're still, what? He's in his 50th year even in November. It's November 1969. So we're not even there yet. But anyway, congratulations on something in the vicinity of half a century playing Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch. I thought that was pretty cool.
Do you think they have like an apprenticeship? Like somebody he's been training for like the last 2 years?
Good question. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, training as in your voice is similar. So you're going to kind of, they're going to try to make it seem like Big Bird's voice is the same, or training somebody just to take over the job and do their own voice of that character?
The former.
I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. I feel like we would notice. Well, there's something wrong with Big Bird. He doesn't sound right.
It's definitely possible. I mean, there has to have been at least two or three people who have done Mickey Mouse.
Oh, for sure.
And Disney is very precious about their properties. So.
Right. Yeah, that's not... Yeah, that's for real.
Is Sesame Street Disney?
Is it now? Oh, no, it's not. HBO bought it.
Okay, you meant Disney's protective in terms of Mickey Mouse. I was like, okay.
As far as having the ability to shift to a new voice actor.
Mm. Well, okay, so in terms of what I've been watching, I have not been watching Sesame Street, but I love it, and I will watch it randomly at times, just because why not when it's available? Because it's fun. By the way, one of my favorites is Andrea Bocelli. This is a YouTube video of Andrea Bocelli singing Time to say goodnight. Yeah, time to say goodnight.
Oh, isn't the song Goodbye, though?
Yes, that's okay. The funny part is that he's like singing like a lullaby to the kid and making the kid go to sleep. And then isn't like Tom Hiddleston doing like the something cookie, really funny? He's so funny.
The cookie monster one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so but in terms of what I've been watching, I have been watching Voltron, The Legendary Defender on Netflix, the new version. There's what, 7 seasons, I think, online right now. And I had heard that it's very like Avatar, which it is. It's like an Avatar Last Airbender or Legend of Korra mixed with like Star Wars is basically what it is. It's so much fun. I love it so much. And I started watching it because we finally are putting together Kendon's Lego Voltron. And I think it's appropriate to be watching that while putting that together. Yeah, so I highly recommend it. It's really, really fun. Episodes are like 20 minutes. You can download them on your phone and watch them on the light rail. And I think I was up to like 3:30 in the morning one night just watching it because it's so fun. Anyway, that's what I've been watching.
Shalia's been trying to get me to watch it, and I have no intention not to watch it, but there's just like so much other stuff on my mind, so I want to get to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get back to the Dragon Prince too. I only got a couple into that and then got distracted, but right now I'm happy with Voltron.
I guess I could get it. I really think that the animation style looks really good from the episodes that I've watched with you, and also the cat people that they're fighting.
The Galra.
Yeah, they're a really cool design. Do they still have like a space witch?
Yes.
Okay, I'm remembering some stuff from either the original Voltron, or I think they did like a Voltron revival with like kind of CG graphics, mm-hmm. maybe in the 90s.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay, well, are we ready to get into our topic for this week? Mm-hmm. Guys, The Thing, John Carpenter. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. This guy, talented. Who wants to introduce The Thing 1982?
I can introduce The Thing 1982. It is a remake of 1950s, The Thing from Outer Space. This is John Carpenter's, one of his very first films. But it's about Antarctica outpost 82. Where a bunch of men are there conducting something. We don't know what they're doing, but a dog shows up, and these Norwegians are trying to chase the dog down and kill it. They end up shooting the Norwegian with the gun. The one Norwegian drops a grenade in the snow and blows up the helicopter and himself. But then they come to find out that the dog isn't just a dog. It's a thing, an alien, that can take shape of anything it comes in contact with. It can replicate it. So MacReady, played by Kurt Russell, is sort of the leader.
Wait, what was his name?
MacReady.
Shalia, what did you think?
MacReady.
They say MacReady like 100 times.
Right, but we were looking at the... Well, Shalia spent like the first 20 minutes of this movie like staring straight at her phone.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, before we get too into the plot, this is an all-star cast. Mm-hmm. I was so excited when I saw Kurt Russell. I was just like, heck yeah. And I read his name is MacReady, and I was like, okay, MacReady. And then...
you thought that was like a good action movie name.
I was like, I'll take it. It's the 80s. And then it was... I mean, I recognized every person in it. It's so great. And my favorites were Kurt Russell, obviously. And then Keith David, youngest I've ever freaking seen him. That was crazy.
Yeah, Charles has my favorite line in the whole movie.
I always just assumed he was born a dad.
Yeah, Charles is great. So you got Charles, Keith David, you got Wilford Brimley, who we all recognize, T.K. Carter, mm-hmm. and what's his name? The crazy cop dude, the one with the gun. Oh, Donald Maffitt. Yeah, no, Gary.
And then you've got Gary, that's the captain, mm-hmm. or the, yeah. And then that guy, wait, this girl with a beard. Yeah, Richard something. I can't read it.
Clark.
Yeah, but his last name starts with an M, the actor says. But yeah, I mean, like, these guys, they're all, I know them all. It's crazy. Yeah, it was so great. All-star cast, action-packed, great film. So much fun. And also Jed the dog. That was my third favorite actor.
All right, so they're on this outpost. There's an alien there. So they're trying to figure out who's an alien. And MacReady realizes that not all of you guys are aliens, or else I'd be dead by now. So some of you guys are real humans. So we need to figure out who's an alien. They come up with a blood test that then all the blood gets destroyed. And then they're looking for Fuchs. So because people are dying, whatever. They're looking for Fuchs because he's missing, and they find Fuchs. Fuchs runs out in the snow because like, they leave him with the bodies, and they're going through the doctor's notes, and he's saying these cells are still alive. Window sees Fuchs getting turned. They go back in the room, and he's gone, and they find him out there, and he's human-ish, but he has these large alien hands. He makes that weird guttural, like, echoey alien scream. Then they burn him. And then they're sort of trying to bat down the hatches around, lock on the doors. And then that's when MacReady sees that the light's still on in his thing. And him and, what's his name? The other black dude, not Charles, the other guy. to go up to MacReady's cabin, which is farther away from the rest of the compound. But when he shows up without MacReady and says, MacReady's one of those. This is my favorite sequence in the whole film. He shows up. MacReady's one of those things. I found this ripped up. He didn't see me take it. And I cut the line because it's like a blizzard outside. I cut the line. Then MacReady shows up. And they're like, no human could have survived. He's got to be one of those things. So MacReady breaks into the room. So before we get to MacReady, they're all outside the room. And Childs has an axe. He's taking an axe to the door. And they're like, we should just blow him away. We should just, Palmer wants to kill him. And Windows is the only one who's concerned for MacReady. And he asks Childs, well, Childs, what if we're wrong? And Childs just says, well, then we're wrong. Like, that's his response. If we're wrong about him being an alien, it's too bad. Like, we're wrong about it. Then they break in and MacReady has the dynamite and threatens to blow the whole place up. And that's when What's-His-Face has a heart attack, which is probably Shalia's favorite part. Gwen, did you know that was coming?
No, I screamed.
He has a heart attack, and which is another favorite scene.
Dude's arms get chopped off. He's just like, ah! It was great.
I think I laughed out loud.
Yeah. So then the head, the scene where the head like sort of detaches from the body and like gets spider legs and starts trying to crawl away. And Palmer's like, you gotta be shitting me. What's funny is Palmer's been an alien this whole time.
Yeah.
Has he already just recently? It was really hard for me to figure out who became alien when.
Okay. So I'm going to interject right here because I think that, in fact, John Carpenter doesn't know. I was reading about it. And, for instance, the first time that dog goes into the room.
We don't know who that is.
We don't know who that is. Not only do we not know who that is, that's none of the actors from the cast.
Yeah.
They put just another actor in there so that there's no actual hint of who was in that room.
Yeah, you just see the shape.
And so I think John Carpenter has even said he doesn't know what order people were infected in.
Yeah. And also the film does a really good job of jumping time, so you never know. We don't know how, we don't see the whole time the dog's been wandering around. We just know he's been wandering around, not in the kennel. That's all we know. We don't know how long. It was all night, so we don't know what happened. And people, it's such a big space. People, before we get to the killing, we don't know who's coming in contact with who. We have no idea.
We also don't know how it spreads. Like, it clearly can spread by touch or in different things, but we don't know exactly when and how and why.
Yes, we do, because we see it with the dog.
Not exactly.
So, and we see
it see one way that it can spread.
And we see it with Windows. So when Windows gets murdered, when MacReady chases the other Palmer's creature thing outside and throws a dynamite at it, which is fantastic. Light it on fire, throw a dynamite stick. I like that plan. When he comes back, they're like, Windows, you got to get Windows. Because Windows is slowly starting to turn. He starts making the noise that Fuchs made out in the snow.
Yeah, but the guy who got shot in the leg, he was, I thought that he got it just straight from, because he was the first one the dog came over and touched when he ran up to them. So I was like, okay, so he got it that way. I mean, it just seemed like it could have just been through touch and it didn't have to be.
I think it passes the jelly multiple stuff. Ways because I was trying to read up on.
No, it's not. It's not through touch. Like it has to touch you, and then it sort of engulfs you, sort of wraps around you, and it's whether it's blood or it's fluid, it starts to recreate your cells. That's what it does. It's not. I can't like touch you and then you have it. That's not it. And that's why when you see it turning on Fuchs, he's sitting next to the body and the tentacles reach out and grab it. Just like it grabbed the dogs.
That scene was amazing.
That scene was horrible. Like, I'm a husky. I love University of Washington. Our puppy, Dubs 2, I've met him. I love him.
Good thing those are all what, Mamelukes?
No, so is Dubs 2. Dubs 2 is a Malamute. One of them was a husky for sure in there because he had the like one brown eye, one blue eye. If it was, I don't know, if it was other dogs, I would be very upset. But this was awful. This was awful. Like, thankfully, thanks to Tim, I knew that was the one scene of them. I didn't know they were all going to get, the rest that survived were going to get killed, but at least I didn't have to see it. That was the worst part of this movie for me. And it, if it didn't happen so far in the beginning, I wouldn't have made it through this.
So back to what I was saying, that scene was amazing. And I can tell that it was amazing because of the reaction it got out of Shalia.
Yeah.
Like, everything going on in that scene was so well done and thought out. And, like...
They put it in there and they locked them in there and they couldn't get out. And it was...
But they just thought it was a dog.
Yeah. They didn't knowingly lock the dogs in there with an alien. No one had any idea.
I know, but it was still really upsetting.
And the dogs didn't even start reacting until it started
changing. No, when it starts changing, because it sort of sits in the middle of the dogs.
Yeah, very I'm saying the character who I did not do well at Clark. Catching everybody's names Clark. At the beginning. Clark, like the weird stuff didn't happen until he had walked away. So he didn't even know that something like odd was going down. The dogs only started to act that way, like you said, as it started to change. But the human was outside of the scene by then. Mm-hmm. But I want to say, like, watching that whole process go down was amazing. Yeah. Like, the tentacles go out and get one dog. It's spraying acid for some reason on another dog. The dogs are all freaking the fuck out. Like, and it's all practical effects. Now, throughout the movie, that's one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. But, and sometimes I can kind of see, I was like, oh, that's like foam or whatever. But overall, like, the effects of this movie, this is like my favorite movie that we've done on this show that I had not seen before. I want to rewatch it so that I have a better idea of what the fuck was going on.
I watch it every year. I watch it every year. I watch it every year, and it is different every year.
Let's do it down in the let's watch it down in the basement on the big screen sometime.
Yeah,
because this movie is amazing.
Yeah. We'd even talk about MacReady showing up to the Norwegian site and like seeing, like, imagine that. So it's a bunch of aftermath. They can see they dug something out of the ice. It's all these weird clues, but they don't know what happened and they can't
until they see a big ass spaceship.
Yeah. And but they still don't know. They still don't know like what actually took place. So they're trying to go through all the video. But the one thing I noticed on this rewatch is they're already sort of at each other's throats when the movie starts. Cause they've been at this outpost for a long time and these guys are kind of, because they get on windows because he can't get in contact with anyone. Like, nothing's bad has happened yet. They're like, windows, you can't reach anyone? He's like, I've been trying. But they're all kind of assholes to each other. Yeah. They're asking Nalls to turn his music down because he's trying to sleep. And he doesn't care to turn it. He's blasting his Stevie Wonder. He doesn't care. Like, all that stuff is important because when things start to go left, when MacReady's like splitting up the team, he tells Palmer, you're going with Windows. And he's like, I want to go on Windows. I'm not going with him. Yeah. Like this mistrust of like, now, I don't know if Palmer is an alien at that point or what, but or maybe he's selling it.
Well, you watch this every year and you don't know.
You don't know because you don't know because of the weird time dumps they do. You don't know when someone's turned. But it all comes to a head when they do the blood test. The blood test they talked about earlier that someone mysteriously destroyed. We don't know who did it. We never learn who destroyed the blood. We never learn who done it. We just know it happened. We never learn who done it, who did it.
So, another thing I found out, and I didn't have time today to go through it,
yeah.
But I guess there's an award-winning short story that tells the whole story from the Thing's point of view.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Well, it's a short story.
I read it.
It's written. I'll send you the link.
Oh,
and it actually has some parts where I read just a little bit of it, where it's basically acknowledging that there's multiple parts of it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like there's like certain characters are turned, and then there's other ones that are turned, and you're like, oh, this one is against this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like it acknowledges that, and it looks at all of us as just biomass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then they do the blood test, and MacReady unfortunately kills Clark because Clark tries to come at him with an X-Acto knife, shoots him in the head, and then...
Scalpel
knife, sorry. So as they're doing the blood test, he does Windows first, and he has everyone else tied up. So Windows goes first.
Such a tense scene.
Super tense. Windows is fine. And then he's having a back and forth with Childs about whether or not this works. And they're like, this is bullshit.
Because then they do the two dead guys.
Yeah. And none of them. So like, this is not like, okay, this is bullshit. You just kill someone. You got us all tied up. Let us go. And he says, yeah, I thought you'd say that. That's why I'm doing you last. And then, but as he's testing Palmer's blood, because his thing is like, between the doctor's notes and what he's seen, he believes this organism, like every part of this thing is alive. Said a normal person's blood would just be blood, but this other person, an alien's blood, is going to try to fight back and survive. So when he touches the hot coil into the blood, it jumps out the petri dish and like makes like a weird squeaking noise, and is on the floor like trying to get away. And then Palmer, who's tied to two other people on the couch, starts turning into this ridiculous alien. And what I love about the scene is all the alien designs look different.
Yeah.
Every time you see it, it's different. So Windows, being a dummy, doesn't. He's just standing there watching. And they're like, it's MacReady's flamethrower doesn't work. And Windows is standing there, and then he gets like the head like opens up like a plant, like a Venus flytrap. And then like bites him and is swinging Windows around the room. And then finally MacReady gets it outside and blows it up. They burn up Windows.
Who has the other flamethrower?
Windows.
Why does he take so long to use
it? He's just freaked out by it. Because at this point, Windows hasn't seen the thing turn. Windows has seen none of this. That's one thing I realized this time. Windows hasn't seen anything happen. So this is his first time seeing it up front, and he's freaked out. And he freezes.
I loved Windows. He was so scared and was just like the whole time, like, this is really scary. And he's like, yeah, he was freaking out the whole time. I felt for him.
Yeah. No, I'll take it. Because Windows did see when the chest burster thing happened in the lab. Anyway, so Windows is freaked out. So anyway, so now we've got MacReady left. The one captain, if you keep forgetting his name. Knowles and... what's his name? Childs.
So next person is it Knowles? Is that he? Knowles? What's his name? Knowles?
No, yeah. but they administer the blood test and they go check on the doctor who's clearly losing his mind. He's the one wrecking the ship. I mean, wrecking the helicopter because he wanted anyone to leave. He's doing all this weird stuff and he's losing his mind.
So I got really confused about that. But there's the doctor whose arms get... bitten off. Mm-hmm. And then there's Blair, who's like a scientist, and he's the one who kind of goes crazy. Yeah. But he's not wrong.
Do they look kind of similar?
Yeah. So Blair, when they check on Blair, Blair's not there. The door's unlocked, and they find a spaceship underneath, and they realize that Blair's turned at some point. We don't know when Blair turns.
So this is one of the interesting things to me. So it's building a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the blood probably couldn't, and the spider thing probably couldn't. But like you said, it looks different every time we see it. So it's almost like it has a sort of, I'll say, genetic memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it just is able to, like, recall aspects of all the different stuff that it's, you know, it's got spider legs at one time.
Yeah.
It's got tentacles. It turns into a dog.
The dog comes out at the end. Yeah.
And, but, like, does it have to reach a certain, I guess, level of creature in order to put together a spaceship? Right? Because at some point I was wondering whether or not that was even its spaceship.
Oh, it was.
You're sure that it was its spaceship and it wasn't somebody else's spaceship that it took over? Like, it got onto that spaceship and infected all the people on that spaceship, and that's why it crashes to begin with.
No, because they deal with that in the prequel, which isn't worth watching.
So to a certain degree, let's stay within the movie that we watched, because the prequel is... you know, apparently a bad movie.
Yeah, it was
2011. So, yeah. But I think it's a good theory within this that, you know, it infected a ship and, you know, took down the people in the ship. And that's basically what supposedly happened in Alien.
Yeah. So.
Well, actually, it does happen in Alien, because you actually see that chest burster came out of the space jockey. Right.
So, Blair takes out everybody else. It's kind of just MacReady. We have no idea where Childs is. And MacReady blows it up. And I don't know how he escapes that explosion, because a lot of dynamite. Okay, so here's the ending of the movie is where the controversy is. I don't know if you've read about this yet, Kenan.
Just a slight.
There's so many theories about what happens at the end, because it's all this, like, the lighting of the eyes in the movie. Like, whenever someone's an alien, their eyes aren't lit. They kind of have these dark, kind of dead eyes.
So ooh, that's like a connection to Blade Runner.
So at the end of the movie, Childs has those eyes. And all kind of theories, like MacReady doesn't hand him a beer. He hands him gasoline. And when he drinks it, that's why MacReady chuckles.
I thought it was whiskey.
Yeah, but apparently it's not alcohol, whatever it is. It's gasoline. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter, yeah. And he says that's why he chuckled. Because they're pretty much two guys being like, where have you been? What have you been? Is that thing dead? They're kind of measuring each other out to see if either of them is an alien. And then rumor is it's gasoline, and that's why he laughs.
Okay, I only seen this once, but when he passed the bottle, it was definitely a glass bottle. Like, it looked like a liquor bottle, not a gasoline bottle.
Oh, no. He filled it with gasoline. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude would have known if it was a gasoline bottle. He wouldn't have drank from it.
Okay. So the point is, did he notice the taste is wrong?
Not if you're an alien. You don't know. That's the whole point. If you're an alien, you have no idea.
Are you sure?
How would you know?
Because you've been around these people.
How do you know? How do you know what he's drinking? He's an alien.
It tastes different than what was in the bottle last time.
Honestly, I've had your whiskey before. It tastes like gasoline.
But if the alien just turned to Childs, he would have no idea that this is gasoline. Sure. It's just replicating.
Okay.
All right. Can I talk about some things that I think are problematic? It's actually just one thing that I think is really problematic about this film. And that is they figure out pretty early on that this thing can replicate them. And you don't know how long they were alone, that like it had you alone, and so you know could be any one of them. So it was really frustrating, like at points where they're thinking it through and saying, "All right, we got it," and they're making sense in every other aspect, but then they decide to split up.
Yep.
And they either split up in singles at points, like leaving Childs and being like, "If Blair comes, shoot him," and they're just leaving him there, or they're going in twos. And that's stupid because if one of them is the thing, then the other one is going to be alone with the thing. So I was like, you need to at least split up. And they had enough at points. And I was like, at least you need to split up in threes.
I was
at least in threes.
200% bothered. I was 200% bothered when this happened at the very end with the dynamite. I don't even see that they had to split up to do the dynamite. Like, they could have gone as three. To put all of the pieces of dynamite. Yeah, that bothered me a whole lot.
But these movies are set up for people to do dumb stuff.
But they didn't seem dumb throughout the movie. No, all of them seemed tense, sort of realistic in the ways that they were behaving. But that just bothered me.
And then there's a difference between, like, sometimes, like a slasher film where dumb kids go off on their own into the woods when they know there's a killer around or something like that. But in this film, they didn't have to make them dumb. Like, the threat was real enough that you could be really, really smart and still not make it out of this. So I didn't think it was one of those where it's like, the answer is the movie doesn't get made because they're too smart. But it still just didn't. Oh, I was like, why are you splitting up? This isn't going to work.
One thing I like, well, a thing that I really like about this movie is I feel like a more, like, maybe more recent movie, or a quote-unquote, at least want-to-be-smarter movie, wouldn't have shown the alien as much and would have tried to focus in on the tension and the paranoia of them and being like, oh, the danger is just as much the paranoia of the people.
It is.
It is, but also, there's a fucking alien, and the alien is very dangerous, and they show it early and often,
right?
Which I appreciate, and that's not trying to, like, be too subtle.
Not being too coy with the alien.
Coy. Exactly the right word for it. Like, they're like, no, we want to show off the creature. We want to show off why you guys are so paranoid, because it's an actual threat out there, and you're not really just, you know, fighting shadows.
It shows why they're so afraid, and why there is real tension, and why people are... There's so much mistrust amongst the group. And it starts dividing them, but you understand why, because this creature is ridiculous.
And now, Shalia, you might remember this. We had a stretch where we watched the first few seasons of The X-Files. And in the first season, like, I knew that this was an homage to The Thing, but since I hadn't seen The Thing, I wasn't able to really, you know, put it in context. But there's an episode very early where they're called up, you know, Mulder and Scully are called up to, like, an Arctic or Antarctic research facility. They get there.
Isn't that the movie?
No. I mean, that happens at one point in the movie, but it's a completely different story. They get up there. They have this scene. People have died. You know, one of them shot themselves. You know, somebody's clearly locked in a freezer. Like, all of this stuff. So it's kind of like that scene where they go up to the... Was it Swedish or Norwegian?
Norwegian.
Norwegian. The joke is that they keep saying it's Swedish, don't they, in the movie? They go up to that scene where they go and see their camp and see the aftermath of all of this. So there's that as soon as they get there in the X-Files episode. And in this case, there was some alien worm that was deep down in the ice that they had dug up. And it was like it was just super aggressive against everything, including itself. Mm-hmm. So when it would get into somebody, it would make them super aggressive. Mm-hmm. And so you have all the same paranoia, the same aggression. Scully is a doctor and scientist as well. Mm-hmm. So she's figuring out some sort of test, kind of like MacReady does. I'm going to rewatch that episode now that I have that. But it was clearly a very direct homage to this movie.
So that's a good segue. Was this movie influential?
Oh, 100%.
It had to be, yeah.
So we were talking earlier about John Carpenter and how he had a hell of a run in the 80s. Mm-hmm. This is, so Halloween was 78. This is 82. And we have plenty more to go through. So that's somewhat influential. Any other influences?
I just think all types of movies where there is a unknown... hidden threat, alien threat, like something that can assume forms, either the characters or just something innocuous, and there's paranoia going on.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, those kind of movies where you're not sure who's who.
And then the monster effects. Mm-hmm. The monster effects are fucking spectacular.
They still hold up because they're all practical.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the way that the tendrils whip out, the sounds that they make. Yeah. Damn, this is such a good movie.
Yeah. I agree, and I get scared in scary movies. This was definitely a jumper. I'm really, really scared. Aside from the dog scene, I loved this movie. It was so great. Let's mix this up. We can still talk about influences, but let's also move into favorite things. And it sounds like we're unanimous in terms of the creature.
Yeah.
And how amazing that was. How disgustingly it was, how Tim, you mentioned it's different every time. Like, it looked so cool the first time you see it, and then you see something different and you're like, what is this, and is it the same thing? And so interesting. The other thing that so that was my favorite thing too. The other thing I really liked about it was that they showed it. So this is something I wish was more influential for other things, where it's like it's very suspenseful, so you never quite see the creature. Or even in Signs, right? It takes a while to see it. In this one, it's just straight up, you see it a lot. And it's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Makes me think of Tremors or something. It's you don't always see it, but when you see it, it pops up and you know why you're scared.
Yeah. It reminds me of this is a movie called Grabbers on Hulu. I would highly recommend watching that.
Grabbers.
It's great. it's good enough to watch.
Grabbing?
You can watch it.
Okay.
You're not gonna lose.
Did you mean gripping?
That is exactly what I meant.
My favorite scene, probably though, is the scene with Childs and Windows, and when MacReady shows back up and they're gonna kill him, and he has to hold dynamite and threatens to blow everybody up if they.
That reminded me of the Joker, from The Dark Knight.
And then that's that whole sequence leading into the guy having cardiac arrest and then the chest opening up and all that.
That was an interesting moment because that was their chance to put humanity above their own lives and just let them all blow up. I don't blame them for not doing it, but that was the moment of MacReady saying he's going to blow everyone up. And it's blow us all up so that this doesn't spread. I think that was probably, what was it? And then it gets away anyway. Oh, Fallen. Mm-hmm. No, not Fallen.
Yeah.
Is it Fallen with Denzel Washington?
Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Oh, that movie scares me so much. And then there's a cat. So maybe it's not worth them all killing
or
themselves.
Or Ex Machina.
Yeah. But that's MacReady's plan at the end when he wants to light up the whole place is this thing's not going to escape. So we're gonna heat this place up so it can't just lay out and freeze. That's the plan. So eventually it gets to that point where they're like, he tells them we're not going to make it out here alive. So neither is this thing either. So.
So as far as like my favorite part, first of all, there's a pretty high threshold for me to get actually grossed out by something. And, you know, well, I mean, something in a movie, something in fiction. This thing was gross. It disgusted me, like, regularly. And then, I don't know if I'd say this is my favorite part, but it was just something that stuck out. And it's when the doc, or the scientist, his name again?
Blair?
Yeah, he's running, like, a simulation. And there's like, graphics showing the cells, like, interacting and taking over. And it's running, like, these analysis of what the percentage chance that somebody's infected and how long it would take if it reaches, you know, civilization to take over everybody. And it does it in hours. And it's like 27,000 hours or something. I found it was like, you can use different units, you know. But it was, I can't 100% say that it doesn't exist. But that looked like, I did not believe that they had any sort of technology.
Alien had the same thing. Like, the computer's telling you all these weird outputs.
But Alien took place...
Right.
Hundreds of years in the future. But the
same idea, which is silly to me.
Yeah, well, but it's advanced, definitely, yeah.
But advanced technology, at least, not in 19... Because this takes place in 1982. And remember, I was joking, too, because it reminded me of...
Oregon
Tron.
Trail?
No, it reminded me of Tron. And I was just like, what is with the 80s and, like, the computer talking sentences back at you?
Remember Siri? I don't know who your boyfriend is. In fact, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, I hate Siri.
I don't know. It looked like Oregon Trail graphics to me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I would just say one of my favorite, aside that, one of my favorite scenes was when they go and they actually see the alien ship. And it's hilarious because the rest of this movie it looks really good. Like, it looks good in the snow. It looks, everything is realistic to me for the most part. And then they show this ship, and it's so obvious that they're standing in front of a screen.
Or a matte painting. Is it a matte painting?
Some kind of painting. It was just so funny. Like, wow, that's not even close to passing, but.
We didn't even talk about it having the same opening as Predator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I wanted to give you props. I forget which one of you pointed that out. Absolutely the same. Like, I was like, oh, you meant like the same, not similar, but like same
angle
thing. It's at a funny the angle.
Same thing?
All right. Yeah, you're right, Tim. We have to wrap this up this week. A little bit shorter episode. I don't think anyone's complaining about that, but do we have any last thoughts or things that we need to mention for this?
I thought that them doing this in the Arctic made it seem very... I haven't seen the original one, but it made it seem like almost like they were on an alien world to begin with, right? So you're already feeling kind of claustrophobic, except for that you're in a huge, expansive
area.
Yeah, isolated. So I think that was really effective to set the scene for all of this craziness.
I also thought it was really cool when they go to the Norwegian shack or whatever they call it, and the blood from the guy who slit his own throat is like icicle. Mm-hmm. I was like, is it colder there than other places? Because like, that was really neat. It was really good. Good job, John Carpenter. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week is our final episode of Spooky Scary October. Mm-hmm. Tim's doing a dance. Friday the 13th, folks. That's what's up. Friday the 13th, 3. Mm-hmm. What are you guys going to be for Halloween? Nothing. What?
I don't really celebrate Halloween like that.
Michael Myers. Listeners, the look on Shalia's face.
This is not funny. What are you going to be?
Carrying around some... protective gear, carry my stun gun around. Kenan, that's not safe. That's not a safe costume for you to wear. Like, I will hurt you.
I'm gonna get like
this is one of those. Yeah, you're gonna get injured because I'm gonna fight because I'm gonna be scared. I don't know yet.
You know, I've been looking under the bed for Shalia and in the closet for the last week or so.
Yeah, in order for me to go to sleep, Kenan has to come and check every door and under the bed. When he was out of town, I slept with the lights on. And it was terrifying. I had an idea for Halloween and I'm forgetting. Oh, well, I'll talk about it next week because it'll be more solidified by then. But yeah, next week we will be talking Friday the 13th, number 3. And Ken, then what will we be?
We'll be back.